The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Switching between tools for one project gets disjointed, especially on tight deadlines. Grammarly built a game-changing writing surface tailor-made for professionals to help you move ideas forward and sharpen your writing. You can brainstorm ideas, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or strengthen a proposal without context switching. Easy to get started and even easier to finish. Sign up for Grammarly free and get your professional writing from draft to done. Visit Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com.
Hi, welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. This is Amanda from the Beyond. In honor of the holiday season, Sam and I are taking 2 weeks off, but we thought this would be a great opportunity to share older episodes. So this week's episode is about how we all need to stop flaking on our friends. And this was a great episode we did January of last year. It was really sparked by a TikTok that we saw about someone who had a birthday party and no one showed up, and our responses to that. And specifically, Sam made a video in response to it, and people had some big reactions. So I think this is an even more important topic now than last year. I think people are starting to talk about it, especially, I'm sure you've heard the phrase, annoyance is the price we pay for community or inconvenience. And I think there's been a bit of an overcorrect where we are forgetting about the importance of people, where our muscle of showing up and being there for people is atrophying. So we thought this would be a great episode for you to listen to if you haven't for the first time or again. We hope you have a great holiday season. Truly, this time of year has just made Sam and I so grateful. We feel so lucky that with your support, we've been able to continue to do the podcast. We're also grateful that we launched the Substack a couple months ago. So if you aren't over there, definitely check it out. We have bonus episodes, 1 to 2 a month. So when you sign up, you can get all the backlog catalog of that. Sam does pep talks, 1 to 2 a month. We do episode guides. We're working on a book club and some other social events for the new year. So join us at nuanceneeded.substack.com and let's get into the episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Sam.
And we are here today to talk about a viral video that Sam made about friendship.
Yeah. And it was received really well by some and really, really poorly by others. And we decided that we just wanted to hop on and kind of use it as a catalyst to chat about this overarching issue of friendship that we're seeing not only on social media, but also with our own clients and on a personal level as well. So that is what this episode is going to be about. And there's also, I wanted to add a caveat in the beginning that as I'm working through this and speaking about some of the reactions to the video that I had, there is an understanding that there is so much nuance to this discussion. We are just kind of talking about a more narrow element of it. So we just wanted to get that out of the way at the start.
I feel like this is the first time you've gone viral and gotten significant pushback. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To like this level.
Okay. So tell me all the things. Let's everyone up about the video.
Yeah.
There's context to it because you also made the video, I think, in response to another video.
Right? Yeah. So I mean, this is something that I've been seeing and hearing and thinking about and talking about for a while. And I saw this poor woman planned an entire like New Year's vision board
party. Oh, I saw a baby shower. I think someone else talked about a baby shower and how like no one came to her baby shower.
Yeah. And so she was hosting this huge vision board party, and she got food and bought all these magazines and had like craft stuff and everything. And she invited 8 people, which I think for a get together is actually like a very reasonable number. Mm-hmm. Not huge, not super small. Like I feel like you would think I'm inviting 8 people that I know and trust and
they will whatever. Come. Like maybe one person has like an emergency, but
exactly.
Yeah.
Every single person canceled on her. Mm. And I just saw this and I was so disgusted with people. And it was really bothering me. And I've had clients talk about nothing extreme to that point where no one came, but very similar, or being stood up like when they thought they were going to hang out with a friend, or like lots of confusion on planning and not getting back and not following through and yada, yada, yada. So I got on and decided to make a TikTok, and it was very off the cuff. I hadn't really – I mean, all of my stuff is non-scripted anyway. Yeah. I don't ever read from like a –
No, whatever. I sound robotic when I do that.
Yeah, I know. Same. Like, be a good person. Yeah, no, it doesn't – it just doesn't hit the same. So I made this TikTok, and I said, you know, at the outset, I prefaced it, and I said, this is going to be like hard to hear. Mm-hmm. And I really invite you to sit with that. And I said, I'm desperately calling on some of you to be better friends.
Yeah.
And I started discussing how people are not following through. Stop flaking. Stop committing to things you're not interested in going to or don't think you're going to be able to make it to. Stop taking days and days and days to respond to things. And I talked about how people speak about loneliness, but then self-sabotage these opportunities to connect with other people and look for reasons to not go, not attend, not follow through, whatever. So I posted it, and I had just had like a handful of days before that, I had had another post go viral. Mm. With no issues.
Yeah.
And so I kind of felt normally with the pace of the algorithm, it like minimizes your other content when you have one that is exploding.
Yeah.
So I was kind of under the impression that this wasn't going to go anywhere. Yeah. And it was also fairly long. Like it was over a minute, I think.
Yeah.
And so I like didn't think anything of it, post it, whatever, walk away. I opened my phone like an hour later and it was already at like 10,000 views. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. And by that point, stuff was like still pretty positive. Yeah. Everybody was agreeing. They were like, oh my God, thank you for saying this, blah, blah, blah. Then about an hour later, I started to see some of the pushback. Mm-hmm. And it was getting comment after comment after comment. And the comments were just like exploding. Yeah. And I started getting a little nervous because I know comments are like the tinder for the algorithmic fire, if you will. If it sees that people are commenting on the post, it sees that it's creating conversation. So it starts like, like it just shoots it into the universe. And that is exactly what happened. And people started to say, I can't believe how dismissive and disrespectful you're being. You're being so cruel. This is anti-neurodivergent. This is anti-chronic illness. This is anti, like you're being so ableist. And I would start to comment and say, look, like that's not who this is for. Right. This is for people who are able-bodied, highly functioning, which I would say is most of them, that are engaging in these types of behaviors.
Yeah.
And so there were a couple comments where I tried to clarify that, and I would get ripped even more. Mm. And people were like, you needed to add caveats. I can't believe your arrogance in not adding a caveat. Like, how could you expect me to know what you meant? And people were – there were a ton of people that stitched it. Mm-hmm. And I would say like 80% of the stitches were like positive and agreement. But then the other 20% were like, I don't know who the fuck this woman thinks she is. Mm. I think she's lying about being a therapist. Ugh. I don't think she has real credentials. Like, it was questioning everything.
Yeah.
And people are like, she is an ableist piece of shit. Mm. Like, you are, she's being so disrespectful. I can't believe she would say this to people. We're living in a capitalist hellscape. You can't expect things of me when I am just like burnt out from this capitalist hellscape. And I had to just, it was the most insane experience. And I know like millions of people have experienced this mm-hmm. before, and there's people that go through it every day. And when it's you for the first time, mm-hmm. it puts into perspective a lot. Mm-hmm. And you start to question a lot of things, and you start to question yourself, and you really start to say, like, well, am I the problem? Yeah. Was I the one? Was I actually like really off? I just logged off, and I was like, I have absolutely no control mm-hmm. over where this is going or this conversation. And I also have the perspective to understand that most people who are incredibly upset and triggered at that mm-hmm. have probably engaged in these behaviors,
yeah.
felt bad, projected,
yes.
and then they were able to dismiss themselves of needing to experience that discomfort, because if they villainize me, I'm the problem. Mm-hmm. And so I just had to like let it sit. And the wildest part was people were making stitches on TikTok because they had seen it on either Threads or Instagram. Mm.
No, I saw some videos I don't know if it was videos. I saw people talking about this specific video and I was like, that's you.
Yeah, like that's – yeah, it was – and so when I realized it had made it to other platforms and I saw that there was an account on Instagram that has well over 1 million followers – that posted the video yeah. and then said, debate in the comments.
Oof. Oh, no.
I shouldn't have looked
I was gonna
at
ask
the comments. I did.
I'm such a masochist with that stuff, too. I can't not. I'm just like, I really need to hurt my own feelings.
I have to be in pain. Yeah. Like, I have to know how bad yeah. it is. And Instagram is almost worse yeah. because the comments can be, longer. So I don't know if you're listening, if you don't have TikTok, the comments are actually very short.
Yes.
You only have a very small – it's almost essentially like as long as like
– I think it's like 3 sentences. That's it.
Yeah, if that.
Yeah.
Like 150 yeah. characters, kind of similar to what Twitter used to yeah. be. On Instagram though,
no, people you can write novels.
War and Peace on why you think I am the worst person that's ever lived. And they did. And I think what was so – at first I made it kind of about me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, they don't – like, I'm not like that. That's not who I am, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And then I realized, well, I'm never going to change their mind mm-hmm. on what they think about me. So fine, I have to figure out how to live with that, mm-hmm. that there are people in this world that think that I am like an absolute monster. Mm-hmm. And then I moved into this space of really deep frustration and anger with how incapable – some people have become with holding space for complexity yeah. and being able to look at a post and have the confidence to say that doesn't apply to me and then keep scrolling.
I mean, I think it's so interesting that this happened because this is like why we started the podcast, yes. right?
Yes.
We want to teach nuance and complexity. And I think it's like, I think it's hard because the people we want to teach it to right? Don't want it. The people that need it the most don't want it. But, and my voice is a little weird today because I lost my voice. So bear with me. Yeah. I mean, I think this is so interesting because we could have like 4 different conversations about this. I mean, mm-hmm. I think what's so hard because I've definitely had this happen a bunch to me. A couple years ago, really since I had my, since I got pregnant, I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I really yeah. stepped back of being willing to put myself out there. I used to be very mm. willing to because I realized I couldn't emotionally handle it in the way that I used mm. to be able to. Mm-hmm. But I think it is really hard as a therapist because I specifically feel like there's a trigger about being a therapist where you don't want to ever do harm. And it's really right. hard when people call you harmful and call you problematic. Yeah. And that for me – is like my biggest tender spot that any – it's like a button that is so easily pushed compared to when I've had things like what I talk about with alcohol go viral or something like that. Like that is so easy for me to brush off because it is just – people being like, yeah, I love to drink. Like, screw you. You can take the alcohol out of my dead hand. I'm like, okay, cool, great. Thanks, bro. Like, compared to, being called names, being called problematic, having someone – I've had someone report me to the board. I've had people comment on my website. I've had people find my business on Google and write negative reviews. It's – and it is just really, I mean, right, it's caused by a number of things. And obviously the current state of the world is really hurting people and causing a lot of anger and fear. And people are looking to lash out and things like that. But it's also just so sad how polarized we are and how we've lost the capacity to see things from different perspectives. And like you said, like the fact that we – our brains have broken to the point that we think every single piece of content must be specifically engineered to us or to the exact people we're thinking about.
Right.
There are billions of people in the world. We have to be – like, I will die on the hill that, like, we have to figure this out as a society or we're, like, not going to make it.
No. And that's – and I think I want to call attention to – I really hope you're not listening to this and thinking like Sam's whipping out a violin.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm going for. And Amanda, you were the goat in helping me process this experience. And shout out to my friends Sarah and Lindsay, who – all three of you were on beck and call. I've processed that. I think I'm now at the space like a week out where I am with you of like – this is so upsetting, not because it's about me, but because not only I think just the response to people hearing something they don't like, I think the larger issue was this insane refusal to acknowledge that there is a legitimate connection problem within society.
Yeah.
And to maybe say, okay, I don't acknowledge or connect to everything that this creator is saying, but I can see like, wow, I have a lot of barriers in my life that are stopping me from connection. And that makes me sad. I feel hurt. I feel alone. I feel isolated. And I feel like the system is working to prevent me from being able to connect.
Or even if you can't figure that out about yourself, I don't know how you haven't had that experience before with other people. Like, I don't know how you in this day and age haven't struggled with people being flaky.
Yeah.
Because like it impacts almost every single person I know.
Every single person has had an issue with it. And, you know, you and I too have been like sending articles and other posts back and forth because I also think, and this is something that I am really proud about with the post, is a lot of the stitches were saying the same thing I was.
Yeah.
And like 70% of the people were like, thank you for saying this. Thank you for calling attention to this. I'm so glad somebody finally said it because I think we were all saying it privately. Yes. And on an individual level. And I don't think there were a lot of people saying it at a higher level, kind of inviting everybody into the conversation, which is really what I wanted to do. And I think it's just really sad. I don't even know how to really describe this, but this deep, intensive struggle we have with showing up for each other. And I've thought of it too, and I get like connection requires a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And it requires showing up even when we're tired, even when we feel overwhelmed. And I think there's a lot of people that now feel to be put in a position where they have to push through that means they are doing something that is bad for them.
Yes.
That if you are having to push through discomfort or feel discomfort, that is an automatic no-no. And like abort. And I've had this frustration for a really long time, even like at a broader level, which is part of why I left short form content behind and started doing like solely videos, mm-hmm. was because I felt like a lot of therapists were doing a huge disservice mm-hmm. in just throwing out this terminology with no explanation, no insight. You know, the like, if you have these three yes. symptoms, yes. you now have X. Yes. I have felt frustrated with that for the longest time. And I even did some of those posts mm-hmm. in the very beginning, and I hated it. Yeah. But then they got the most traction. Yeah. That's what was so hard. And so we've given people all of this information with no context, no insight, and now it's just run rampant. And I feel like now we as therapists have a responsibility for those of us who have decided to take space mm-hmm. on the internet and be creators. Mm-hmm. We have a responsibility to tap back in and kind of correct that. Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think it is so hard because I bop between is social media the right platform, which is part of why we started this podcast. Yeah, I think that it is. I think it's so hard. I think that it's been really hard also with the widespread use of therapy speak with how mm-hmm. everyone, I think people use therapy terms now in like day-to-day conversation that are not meant to be used that way. And then other people teach therapy speak because therapy speak has gone from something you talk about in therapy to now everyone uses the words that it's like this bad game of telephone. Mm-hmm. Where it started one way and it is like totally morphed into something else, right? Like boundaries used to be, as we talked about in the episode, if you want to go back and listen, the weaponization of boundaries. Mm-hmm. It started as something that was like to take care of yourself. You yeah. are allowed to say no. And now mm-hmm. it is like I will never – like I don't owe anyone anything. And right. I will – not make myself uncomfortable at all. And I've been thinking about this a lot in terms of the metaphor of, as some of you all know, I've been having a lot of shoulder issues and I've been in a lot of physical pain and I've been doing a lot of physical therapy. And a huge part of where I am now is I've not used these muscles in so long. Now I'm trying to relearn what kind of pain is okay. Because right now in my brain, any discomfort in my shoulder, I like register as like bad. But some of it, yeah. like I need to stretch, I need to move, I do need to fatigue the right muscles to support the ones that are injured. And that is what I fear we've done essentially. Like we've forgotten that being sore is good. We shouldn't be injured. Being sore is good. Being sore is how you get stronger. Like there is – and we're going to do an episode on trauma and stuff, but stress and trauma are on the same continuum.
Yep.
And some stress is good. Mm-hmm. Just like some stress on your muscles is good. Yes, if it lasts for too many days and you can't do regular physical activity, you know, a couple days after, you worked out too hard. Just like if you push yourself to go see a bunch of different people all on Christmas and Hanukkah and stuff like that and you're – sick afterwards or exhausted or you have to call off work, yeah, maybe you pushed yourself too hard, but that doesn't mean do nothing. We're just overcorrecting so much, and as a result we have totally lost the ability to understand how to tolerate discomfort. We have no stress tolerance anymore.
None. And I think it's the realization that I made as I was watching like some of the more negative responses, and even in the people that were really supportive and really liked what I was saying, kind of some people were like sharing their stories and explaining things that had happened to them. And I think it's everything is so all or nothing now.
Now that it is officially the new year, it might be a great time for you to seek therapy. If so, I'd love to share with you about my practice, Therapy for Women Center. We are located in the Philadelphia area, and we also have therapists licensed in 42 states across the country. If you're interested, check out our website, therapyforwomencenter.com.
To go on with what you were saying about the discomfort, it's like if I feel any discomfort right now, that must mean I cannot do X later.
Yes.
And I made a follow-up video to it. And one of them, I mentioned how you talk all the time about, you know, this idea that how you feel right now is not how you're going to feel in the future. And there were so many people in the comments that were commenting back to some of the people that were upset or angry and saying, look, like, I'll feel super anxious the day of going to an event or a party or a get together. And I know I have to push through because I know once I get there, I will feel better.
Yes.
And I even had the same thing happen to me on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
I went to shout out to Cece. I went to Cece's New Year's Day get together and I was like super intimidated. Yeah. I was going, I've never been to her house before. I didn't know any of her friends. She was very kind and gracious to invite me, but I was like really intimidated by it. And I was driving down there and I was like, okay, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And it ended up being great. Yeah. Right. And so I share that to say, like piggybacking off of exactly what you were saying of, I promise if there is something that you are wanting to work on, the discomfort is inevitable.
Yes.
And for you to be feeling that means you are doing something new. You are doing something that is pushing you out of your comfort zone, which is what you said you wanted to do. And that is the indicator that you are doing what you want to do. And I think if we're kind of going on this topic of friendship, because I think this can apply to anything, but I think it's very unique right now culturally that we are in a bit of a friendship and connection crisis, even tying it to, you know, like the male loneliness epidemic, which we could do an entire episode on that. But this idea of connection, which is there is no way to be an engaged friend that doesn't involve sacrifice.
Mm. Yeah.
To be a good friend, to be in a healthy, stable friendship involves sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Involves showing up for the other person when maybe you only have 30% to give.
Yeah.
It involves accommodating. It involves problem solving. It involves consistency and commitment. Mm-hmm. And I think people have lost touch that that is exactly the thing that builds the vulnerability and the intimacy that you are so desperately craving.
Yeah.
Because when you show up in that way, well, and even think of if you're listening to this right now, and this is something that you struggle with, or you know there's people in your life struggling with, I want you to think of it this way too. Think of how it has felt when people in your life show up for you.
Yep.
Even when you know they have shit going on
yep.
and things are happening in their life, think of how it felt when someone showed up for you. That is a gift that you are giving to somebody else. And yes, maybe there are people that don't appreciate that or take advantage of that or whatever. And that is where all of this nuance lies. Mm-hmm. However, most people are not out to do that to you.
Yeah.
Most people are just looking for clear communication, consistency, and mild effort mm-hmm. at best. And so to sit in that space of how did it feel when someone has done that for me? That is what I want to do for someone else. That is how you like reach out and start to really build and maintain these connections.
I also think we need to think about friendship or any relationship as a long-term investment.
Yes.
Like, yes, sometimes showing up when you don't want to is like sucks and you don't want to do it. But you also have to think about how this friendship is a long-term investment that will, mm-hmm. to use, we talked about, right? You had said the day you plant the seed is not the day you eat the fruit.
Right.
Right. It is like, yeah, you, especially with a new friend, like I don't, I would love to just have new friends delivered to me on a platter, like already mm-hmm. knowing me knowing them at the right depth. That it's easy.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be great.
Yeah.
But that's not how it works. Mm-hmm. And like you may not have as much fun the first few times as you're getting to know someone, mm-hmm. depending on who you mm-hmm. are. But it is an investment of like I'm going to enjoy my time more as I get to know them. And I will be able to get emotional support from them and I will be able to, mm-hmm. you know, they will support me. I will support them. Mm-hmm. And I think people don't understand that every time, and I don't want people to get like obsessed with this and get too into the numbers of this, but every time you cancel, you don't show up, there is a little bit of erosion that happens. There is a little bit of, right, we talk a lot about in therapy, there is repair and rupture, and that also happens in our relationships. And it's by nature good to have some ruptures. You know, sometimes we also – it's just like being honest with someone, being vulnerable right. with them. We're not going to just agree with them 100%. We want right. to build back stronger. But you also have to think about how it – like – I'm sorry, but your actions do impact other people. Like, we do owe our friends things. Just like we expect them to do things for us. And I think the problem is we're so hyper-individualized. We're so scared to need anyone. And we don't want to be needed either. And then, yeah, we're like miserable and isolated. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if you feel like you're not – it's this self-fulfilling cycle where you don't want to need anyone and then no one wants to need – you know, then you don't feel like anyone's there for you. So you're not there for them. And then you're just more and more isolated. And then why would you put yourself out there?
Mm. Well, and I want to call attention to something too, because I think what a lot of people are forgetting is there are ways to put effort into people – that are meeting you where you're at. So when I say that, I literally mean if you are at a point in your life where the best that you can give right now is a text or a quick phone call to the friend that you know is having a hard time or needing something or whatever, do that. Mm-hmm. Right? Like if the best that you can do right now is let them know, I'm really struggling, I'm going to be down for the count for a little bit. I just want you to know I'm thinking of you. I love you. I care about you. Great. Mm-hmm. Like what we are talking about at this larger scale is being more self-aware of what we have to give and being willing to give at that level.
Yes.
That is what we are talking about here when we feel that something has been lost in this idea of connection and this fear of effort and showing up. And the erosion that you were just talking about, it comes when we feel that we cannot rely on someone for anything. Mm-hmm. And I think I really want to be clear on you have to meet yourself where you're at in order to be able to show up for the people that you want to be showing up for. And I even saw some people be like, well, I don't have the money to hang out. And I'm like, you don't need money to spend time with people. Yeah. That is the most capitalist thing I've ever heard. Don't go to dinner. Don't go to the bar. Don't go to a cafe. Don't like
go run errands with your friends.
Literally. There are free museums. Target is free.
Or like go to a park. In. Go sit on your friend's couch. Like you can hang out at your friend's house. And not do anything. That's still hanging out.
Have a movie night. Yep. Like, just have them come over and, like, have a drink, like, that you made in your house. I think so much has been overcomplicated. And I think so much of this, too, is because of social media. You know, the super fancy dinners and hangouts and themed parties that you see people throw. I think a lot of people think it has to be at that level.
Well, I was thinking, too, I was just like, do Gen Z and younger folks not have experience with just like hanging out without going out because of social media? You've always – because we at least as well – like I grew up, you know, doing weird stuff in the grass. With we would like, you know, mix mud with sticks and run around the neighborhood and, you know – then in college even, right, like you would hang out in your friend's dorm. Like you would just do things together. So I don't know if now like everything is so overly structured and with social media that – and everything needs to be Instagrammable that is like what is also at play.
I hadn't even
– but I think we need to bring back
– bring back mixing mud.
Just like go to Costco with your friends. Like go sit on their couch. Go, even if you go sit together and just scroll on your phones, like be in the same area. Bring back parallel play. Have you heard of what that is? No. It's like kids, when they're too young, they don't play together. Oh. They just do the same thing at the same time.
At the same time. Yeah. No, it's I love that so much because I am I'm a yapper.
Yeah.
And so if I have someone to yap with, like sometimes if I'm on like long drives, mm-hmm. I call my mom.
Yeah.
And if and my parents will be in the same house.
Yeah.
I'll call my mom. I'll get off the phone with my mom. I'll call my dad.
He'll love it.
And my dad will be like, you talking to mom? Like, oh, how's it going? Meh. You know, I call my sister. Mm-hmm. I have friends that I call. And I think that that is so underrated. Mm-hmm. To just like be present with someone and to know that you're not alone and to get that physical interaction. And it didn't have to be you had to get dressed up or you had to go out or you had to spend money. Like invite people over.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, do you want to come over on Friday
night? It's vulnerable. It's vulnerable to invite someone to your house.
Oh,
and I think that's part of this barrier also.
Mm. I am like, when someone invites me to their house, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I've crossed
We've
over.
Made it.
I didn't. The vulnerability mm-hmm. line has been breached. Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking too, Sam, like I think our friendship is a good example because I have a child, so mm-hmm. I have more to do on the weekends. And I think like we're like I cannot always hang out in the way that I want to be able to. So I think that is an example of, right, I can't give as much as I normally could in terms of time. Yeah. And so sometimes you are more likely to come drive to see me because you're like, I know you have less time than me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we make it work. Is it 100% 50-50 equitable all the time? No, we're not saying it needs to be perfect.
Right.
So the context of your life also matters.
Mm-hmm.
But it still looks like the flakiness, the not showing up, especially if it's because you have anxiety and you want the friends, is just such a horrible, self-fulfilling, self-sabotaging cycle.
Yeah.
That then makes people feel like, well, what's the point of having friends? Everyone doesn't show up anyway, and it sucks.
Mm-hmm. And so many people were saying that on my post. Like, I'm burnt out. I'm done. Like, I've had people cancel on me too many times.
Yeah.
And I get that.
Yeah.
Like it's so hard to feel rejected all the time. And it's just, like this can absolutely be applied to like dating.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
And relationships of like constantly being ghosted or people not following through or they disappear and then they come back and they disappear and they come back. And
because no one wants to be honest.
No. Just tell me you don't like me.
Know.
It's fine.
But we've lost our tolerance for doing that.
Mm-hmm. There's a part of me that's like really glad that that post went off because I do think it started a conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a conversation that is going to like change the world by any stretch of the imagination from my single post. But I think there were a lot of people that felt seen in the comments. And that was what I clung to the really, really validating 70% over the really, really loud 30%. And there were tons of people too that were like calling other people out and saying like, look, like I'm neurodivergent and my friends know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I tell them what I'm okay with and what I'm not okay with or what works for me and what doesn't. And they say like they understand. Like most people want to understand you.
Yeah.
They want to be able to support you and show up for you the way you need. But that requires communication and being honest and open, but that is daunting and it is vulnerable, especially if you're worried about being rejected and then you're going to open yourself up to that fully. So it's hard and it's messy, but something at some point has to give and change.
Yeah.
Or it's like, this is not a sustainable direction that we're headed on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's so hard because I think the two things feed each other is We're on our phones so much.
Yeah.
We feel lonely. We're on our phones more. We're able to be insulated from having hard conversations and feeling what discomfort feels like in real life. Mm-hmm. And then we're afraid of it and we avoid it. And then it makes it scarier and harder to overcome as well. And then we all shift towards being, right? Like norms have also shifted. And I think that's what's really hard is, like, I was even, what was I listening to? I was listening to something that said, and I don't know if this is true, this is just conjecture, but someone said that wedding planners have talked about since COVID, there has been a huge number of, like, when you plan a wedding, they say, expect, you know, a certain amount of people to say yes, and then expect like one or two people to cancel the day of the wedding, which always sucks, but it is what it is. And apparently wedding planners are saying now that that has shifted so, so much, and way more people than ever cancel on the last day, and more people than ever say no. And of course, like, we're not shaming – I'm not shaming anyone for not going to a wedding. Like, they're expensive. They may be hard to get to. Like, there are a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think you said this in your video, like, not ever – like, it's just not possible to have, like, a family emergency, like, every time you're going to hang out with someone.
No. And with the whole wedding thing.
Yeah.
Own it.
Yeah.
You could have had that conversation probably 2 to 3 months in advance.
Yeah.
And to me, that also ties in with bachelorettes, with bridal showers, the whole rigmarole. Like, if you are invited to all of those events.
Yeah. And it doesn't work.
And it doesn't work. You need to be honest with your friend and say, I cannot afford your bachelorette.
Yeah.
I cannot do it. If you're local, I can do XYZ.
Yeah.
I want you to know that because I care about you and I want to show up for you. And I have these barriers, right? Like, you give yourself credit that you know your life better than you think you do.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people kind of do the, like, well, I want to be there. So, like, I'll figure it out. But then you don't figure it out.
Yes.
And I saw another video after this where there was a woman talking about how she is the last not married friend and how she showed up for everybody and nobody showed up for her. And it's kind of this, like, you know, I have this going on with my husband, or then I have this with my kids, or blah, 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 blah. And I think sometimes, and this is me speaking as a single person, I have seen, this is not you.
I think this is a really good conversation for us to have. And I think we should probably do a whole episode on it because I think we are able to bridge this gap and a lot of people can't or don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there are a lot of married people or people with children that could be a lot more available to their single friends than they are. Yeah. And I think it becomes a choice to become that wrapped up and consumed with your own life, which, again, I get it. Mm-hmm. There are situations, there are seasons where it feels that way. And I also think with some of these big life events, you have enough warning.
Yeah.
You have enough preparation time to figure out how to make it work or to be honest in advance that you can't.
Yes. Yes.
And I had a friend who lived out of state. She had recently moved. She was getting married in a different state. And I thought I was going to be able to make the wedding. And like a month ahead, I was just like, look, I can't.
Yeah.
It's too expensive. It's too far. Like I was like right in the middle of a million different things with work. And I was needing to take time off for like other stuff. And I called her.
Yeah.
And I said, look, I am so sorry. Like, this is not going to work. And thankfully, because we had like a stable friendship, she was totally fine. And she's like, I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
And we've shown up for each other in different ways since then. So I think to be honest, people want honesty.
Yeah.
They don't want you to just say yes to make them feel comfortable.
Yeah. Well, it's worse.
And
then.
Yeah. It's so much worse because then it's like, why can't you just be honest with me? And, you know, as being kind of one of the last single people for a lot of my friends, it's something that is in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. When these life events come up for me, I'm like, there's some that I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Most are, I know, Will, but it's still like scary.
Yeah.
In like a weird way. But I think because when you're single, your friendships are so critical to like your social dynamic. And I think it's like a really unique time. And a lot of people don't remember that because they've been in a relationship for so long, or they've been married, or like they're so removed from that. But I still think, regardless of what your life situation is, friendship is so critical, no matter what stage of like family life you're in.
Especially for women.
Yes. Women need community. Women need a village. And they need to know that there's women that they can rely on and women in their corner who want to be supportive of them and caring of them, and that they have that from you. Mm-hmm. And so I guess like to a very long-winded space, I think to just say, if you are someone that is struggling with friendship, i.e. you're wanting more friendship, or it's felt difficult for you to put yourself out there, one, don't stop trying. You will find people to connect with. Two, be really honest with yourself about where you're at and what you have to give and what you're able to do, and figure out how to clearly communicate that to the people that you care about. And three, Rome wasn't built in a day. Friendships are not going to be built in a day, and that's okay. Small little efforts of reaching out, engaging, being available, doing what you can when you can, that is how you build lifetime friendships. So that's kind of my like in a nutshell.
Okay, my in a nutshell, and I will share my tips for someone who is very busy, who has a young child. Well, one thing my husband does that I think is smart is he is very into finding friends who do the hobbies that he likes to do. He's like, it's a double – I get both. He's very into fishing, so he likes finding fishing friends. And he's very into – like there are some people who he's friends with who he – you know, he's been friends with for a long time. But I think you are allowed to also be picky about like the new friends you bring into your life. I am extremely picky with friends, so I don't care what I do with them. Ideally, I would like to do very little with them. So I need the emotional depth to be on point. So I think figuring out like what's important for you, I think it is also so easy. Like I think I'm in a unique position sometimes because I'm only having one child. So I feel very like my foot is in not having kids, but I have one kid. And I write about this and find it really fascinating. You can read more at my Substack, Fensitter. But anyway,
it's great.
Right? Like, so I can see, I have moments where I'm like, I could see how you just fall into like motherhood and you just get totally, that's your whole world and your whole life. And I get how it's tempting. But what I try to remind myself of also is like, again, friendship is this like long-term life investment. Not every friendship will be that. But if you want to have lifelong friends until like that you have at the end of your life, you need to like be fostering continuously the friends in your life right now to have a shot at having them be there still. So yes, it might be like more uncomfortable, or like, yeah, you're going through a phase right now where you're in postpartum or your kids are young and you are just like drowning and you, you know, can barely keep your head above the water. I think that's where you tell people, like, that's not the time to make new friends, but that's the time to tell people in your life what's going on, let them support you, send them a text, be like, look, I am really on my phone, or I can't get out of the house right now because things are so crazy, or the idea of having anything on the calendar is so overwhelming to me. I can't handle it, but I'm going to like text you when I think about you, or, you know, come, you know, I'll text you and ask you to come over when I have a free moment or I have a free hour, or maybe you're going to plan something and finding, but I think you have to be, realistic, like we were talking about, and you need to really lower your expectations for what counts as spending time with people. And I think especially if you're in a phase of motherhood, it is a lot of work to do things like to get a babysitter, to get someone to watch your child. It is like overwhelming sometimes. And that's something I struggle with, I think, most of like, oh my God, it is such a rigmarole to get out of the house sometimes. But again, it's that investment. And I think it's also being mindful of how you feel afterwards. Like one of my biggest tips with how do you decide if something is self-care is asking yourself how you feel afterwards, not before. Because afterwards, a lot of times you're so glad you did that. If you often have experiences where you're so glad you did that, that is a good sign to not let anxiety win and stop you from doing those things.
Yeah. And I love that you kind of tapped into this idea of like existing friendships. I think people forget that too. Like, it's actually pretty easy to like revive a friendship. I mean, short of if it was like a full-blown friendship divorce, then don't do that.
Yeah.
But I think friendships that just kind of like you went your separate ways or like life got in the way, like reach out.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't become like, you know, the great love story of all time, like to just have like those connections and different levels of friendship and different levels of people in your life, like that has meaning.
You need different people for different things.
Yes. Yes, you do. And, you know, the real lesson here is I survived my first anti-Sam social media experience.
Live to tell the tale.
Live to tell the tale. So you too can get through things that you thought would end you. Remember that.
Thank you all so much for listening. We're excited. It's January. We have a lot of plans, upcoming exciting episodes.
Yeah.
And we would love to hear from you. We have a new email address. Email us at podcast@therapyforwomencenter.com. We would love to hear your questions, your feedback, because we're hoping to start doing more than one episode a week and doing kind of a Q&A part to that. You can also call in and leave us a message. You can call us at 813-444-8683.
Please, if you haven't already, rate, review, subscribe, share. Anything that you can do to get the word out means the world to us. And we see all of your comments, all of your DMs. We appreciate it so much. And we really love doing this and we want to keep doing it. And the more you rate, review, share, subscribe, the longer we can do it.
Yes. All right. We'll see you next week.